As the state of Michigan adjusts to Governor Whitmer's stay-home order, businesses and employees are making necessary adjustments.
A number of businesses identified as essential have remained open. Others have limited their services, but as these are unprecedented times, questions remain. I'm Andrew Lacombe.
And I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Up next, a special media meet as we ask your business and employment questions to a panel of attorneys. Welcome to a special media meet. I'm Elizabeth Peterson, co-hosting the program today with TV6's Andrew Lacombe. Andrew is here in the studio, but we're keeping with CDC guidelines and sitting apart from each other. Andrew, it's great to see you. I know it's been a busy few weeks. You're really doing an amazing job keeping everyone updated and informed across the Upper Peninsula. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for the praise. I think it's we're taking it one day at a time for sure, like everyone is right now. Definitely adjusting, like many people, to a different workflow, having a lot of people outside of our building, a lot of different situations, trying to keep everyone safe and healthy. But doing our job, I think that's more important than ever, to keep people informed in Upper Michigan, as so much is changing by the day. But the big message is the same, that we are safer if we all stay home as much as possible.
Well, I think I share the sentiment of so many people when I say thank you for all of your hard work. And I know I'm grateful to be doing this show here with you today. We put out the call for questions, asking small business owners, employees, what questions they still have, because there is a bit of confusion regarding Governor Whitmer's executive orders.
Yes, and part of it is there have been so many orders. We see new ones being announced every day, so keeping up on what is allowed, what's changing, what assistance is available, it can be a bit daunting, and inevitably questions are popping up.
And we are going to get through as many of those questions as we can in this next half hour. Let's introduce our panel. Joining us via Zoom, Laura Riley, an attorney specializing in employment law, Marquette County Prosecutor Matt Wiese, and attorney Sean Fossmeyer. Thank you all for joining us.
And we know you all have been receiving a lot of questions, people looking for answers, so let's get right to it. Our first group of questions has to do with essential services. And we begin with a question from an email. We are deemed an essential business and have employees who are choosing to stay home to self-quarantine due to existing health concerns, or they are concerned about contracting COVID-19 and bringing it home to their families. So are they eligible for unemployment insurance if they are still requested to work?
Sean, do you want to take this one or shall I do it?
No, I'll defer to you, Laura. It's an employment question.
Okay, all right. So the answer to that one is maybe. The governor's latest executive order about unemployment says that if an employer is telling an employee to work, an employee who chooses not to work in order to self-quarantine due to COVID-19 is considered unemployed and eligible for unemployment, but only if the employee did the self-quarantining for some special reasons. And those reasons are, one, the employee has a compromised immune system. Two, the employee has symptoms of COVID-19. Three, the employee's been exposed in the last 14 days to a confirmed case of COVID-19. Four, the employee needs to care for someone with a confirmed case of COVID-19. And five, the employee has a family care responsibility as a result of a government order. So if the employee is being told to work and chooses to work not to come to work because of one of those five reasons, then yes, they're eligible for unemployment. But if the employee simply chooses to stay home, but does not have one of these reasons, under the governor's order, the employee is not eligible to claim unemployment. Of course, the other standard reasons folks claim unemployment still apply, but this special way to have unemployment under the COVID-19 crisis isn't open to that employee.
And Laura, for the reasons you listed, is there documentation required to prove that to get the unemployment?
Well, normally what the employee will want to do is contact their employer to start with, to give them the reason why they claim that they have to stay home, even though they're being asked to come to work. The reason that matters is because ultimately the employer is going to be reviewing the documentation that they get from the state after the employee claims unemployment. So in order for the employer to go along with the claim for unemployment or not protest it, it is important that the employer knows the exact reason why the employee is choosing to stay home. So employees should stay in touch with their employer, give documentation where they have it, and make sure the employer is aware of why they're claiming to stay home and plan to claim unemployment, even though they're being asked to come to work.
Our next question comes to us from the TV6 and Fox UP Facebook page. Someone asked, if an essential employee gets a fever or can't work because they are ill but not confirmed to have coronavirus but not able to work, do they still qualify for unemployment?
No, they don't, unless they can prove under the standard Michigan Employment Security Act, which is our unemployment law, that the employee left work involuntarily for medical reasons. It's important to point out at this juncture that the COVID-19 crisis and the governor's orders didn't change every single thing about unemployment law. So if you are claiming to need to stay home and claim unemployment for some reason that is not outlined in the COVID-19 executive order, or some other unrelated reason, you still have to abide by what unemployment laws say. And the way that the law is currently written, an employee gets unemployment if they have to leave work involuntarily for medical reasons. And in order to make that claim, the employee has to take a few steps, and most of them, all of them, involve interacting with the employer to tell the employer why they need to stay home. Employers need to know if you're feeling sick, especially if it involves a fever. I mean, during these times, we're all being extra careful. So in this case, if you don't think you have COVID-19, you haven't been diagnosed, but you simply feel sick, to be able to stay home and claim unemployment anyway, under the current law, you have to do the following. First, you have to get a doctor's statement saying that your continued work will be harmful to your physical health or your mental health. Second, you have to be able to say that you talked to your employer about alternative work and you couldn't get that from the employer. And third, you have to be able to say that you talked to the employer about being placed on a leave of absence and the employer didn't give it to you. So these are all steps to take if you are feeling sick for a reason that seems unrelated to COVID-19, and then you try to claim unemployment. So additional steps to take there with the employer.
I would think that if an employee is at work and is starting to have symptoms, the first thing that he or she should do and the first thing the employer should do is not send the employee home, but send the employee to the doctor's office. Walk-in clinic, someplace where you can see a physician, where you can request a test, and there's always the issue, are you going to be able to get the test? But that is something that needs to be done medically by a licensed physician, PA, nurse practitioner, somebody like that.
Question now here about operational things. It says, I am not a essential business, but obviously there are the operational things that need attention for my business requiring me to go to the office. How can I do this without disregarding the state's order? Could somebody be cited or fined in a situation like this?
Well, the order from the governor, the 2-1 order that says that you cannot go out except for essential reasons, if you're going to work, that requires either that you have a business that is essential to life or that you're engaged in minimal business operations. Somebody has to be there to take care of the minimal things to keep the business going, and only the business owner and his employees can know that or can know what that is. But certainly, you know, in my mind at least, somebody to go in and man the phones, perhaps forward the phones to cell phones or home phones, pick up the mail, pick up packages, things like that. for many businesses is required for minimal business operations and is approved under that governor's order.
Matt, perhaps a question for you. You know, we saw just recently in Florida a pastor being arrested for holding a church service when there was a stay-home order. Do you anticipate fines, charges, moments like that happening up here? Is that possible?
Well, under my reading of the executive order, religious organizations are exempt. So we wouldn't have that specific circumstance in Michigan. I've communicated quite a lot with the law enforcement community via email, giving directives or directions, advice, suggestions. And pretty much law enforcement right now, they're trying to avoid making arrests except for somebody who is under the influence or a danger. And we're trying to minimize the jail population. If you violate the order, it is a 90-day misdemeanor. We have issued one charge under that. Somebody was committing another crime at the time, clearly in violation of the executive order. However, the approach that I've directed law enforcement to take is to give people a warning and tell them to cease and desist. And if they don't, then they would be subject to a citation. Where, unless they're dangerous, they're not going to be lodged in the jail, but they would receive a citation, which would subject them to up to 90 days jail or a $500 fine. The idea behind this is to enforce the spirit of the order, to not be heavy-handed in a law enforcement approach. And pretty much that's been uniform with prosecutors throughout the state.
All right, another question from the TV6 and Fox UP Facebook page. Wondering about a business that has been deemed essential, but they're not doing business to sustain life. So it's getting very specific to the way things are worded. So one is operating, but they're not doing anything to sustain life. Can they continue to operate?
Well, there's other criteria as well. If you're a critical operation under the federal guidelines, well, let's say the Tilden Mine, they're in business in order to mine iron ore in order to make steel. Steel is needed for fabrication, for manufacturing. That comes under the federal guidelines, and the governor's executive order makes specific provision for the all of the critical infrastructure activities that are provided for by the federal government.
And just to go along with that, we had an inquiry about logging operations, and they're also covered under the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Act, which is incorporated in the executive order.
Okay, we at TV6 have gotten a lot of phone calls from people concerned about employers in the UP that they think are not following the CDC guidelines for social distancing and reducing crowd sizes that we hear about so often. What advice do you have for any employers who are concerned about their business and the practices that they are being asked to follow?
Well, in general, when I talk to employers, which is the bulk of my clients, I advise them that just because we're operating at a bare bones level, just because most people are operating in reduced staffing conditions, doesn't mean that we don't still need to be as safe as we possibly can. We have to bear in mind that there are other laws that make sure that workplaces operate safely. In fact, we've had some additional guidance from AG Dana Nessel and others stating that, remember, we still have our OSHA requirements to make sure our workplaces are as free as they can be of known hazards. So for employers out there, my best advice is to go to the CDC website. They have all kinds of specified guidance for a variety of employment settings, describing things like continue to sanitize high touch items in the workplace, use those bleach wipes, use those cleaners, continue to make sure people wash their hands, make sure people stay 6 feet apart to the extent you possibly can. If I were an employee, noticing that my employer is playing a little fast and loose with those CDC guidelines, the best thing to do is to first bring it to the attention of the employer. To be honest, a lot of the clients that I'm working with right now have a lot of worries, like everyone, trying to keep the business functional, trying to attend to working remotely. sometimes employers need to be reminded of their safety requirements and just bring to the attention of your employer, if you're an employee, what the CDC guidelines currently are and ask that they be followed.
All right, and I do want to just do a quick reminder for those who may have just joined us or those listening on Public Radio 90. TV6's Andrew Lacombe and I are here at the WNMU studios, and we're asking your questions, your business-related questions, to a panel of attorneys via Zoom. Laura Riley, an attorney specializing in employment law, Marquette County Prosecutor Matt Wiese, and attorney Sean Fossmeyer. Thank you all for joining us again today. Andrew, I think you have the next question.
Yeah, we've received a number of questions that were very specific to whether a certain type of business was essential or not. So if someone is still uncertain about their business, how do they find out if they are deemed essential or not?
Well, it depends on whether you're the employer or the employee. It is the employer that decides whether the business fits the essential activity description. And then a lot of it is a judgment call. And I always emphasize that people ought to use a healthy dose of common sense. The governor's executive order and the frequently asked questions on the state's website that talk about the executive order have a lot of examples of what the governor considers to be non-essential and essential. And I think it's a good idea to follow those to see if, by analogy, your activities would fall, you know, on one side of the column or the other.
Okay, moving on right now. A small manufacturer serves various markets and would like to retool to manufacture essential medical equipment to make ventilator parts. If previously considered non-essential, is there any point they could be deemed essential and able to reopen?
I like the idea of somebody saying that he wants to become essential. He wants to switch over from something non-essential to essential. And I think probably in this environment, both the state government and the federal government would encourage that. And so I think it, as long as it's a realistic retooling, if you have customers that you think are in need of your manufactured products, I think it would be encouraged. And the point at which you say this now becomes a legitimate operation becomes a matter of judgment on the part of the employer. You know your business better than most other people do.
We received a number of questions about unemployment and employment issues. One of them, I'm applying for the SBA loan products and looking to bring back my employees to the payroll, but they don't want to come off unemployment benefits. Will I still be able to have my loans forgiven if my employees chose to stay out on unemployment?
What you're talking about are the new package of Small Business Administration loans at the federal level that come by the name CARES Act. That was recently signed into law late last week by the president. There is still developing information daily, sometimes hourly, about those SBA disaster relief loans. But what we know about them right now, first of all, is that there are some really attractive loans available to small businesses out there right now, and not all of them require coverage of payroll. The main ones are called the Paycheck Protection. Let me see. I want to make sure I get this right for you. One is called the Paycheck Protection Loan, and the other one is Economic Injury Disaster Loan. The one most immediately available, based on what I know, is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and the one that is still in the pipeline, but we expect to be available soon, is the Paycheck Protection Loan. What employers need to know is that payroll is not the only thing that can be paid for under loans like this. So if you have difficulty bringing employees back on after you've laid them off, you should know that you can still use these loan funds for things that are related to the expenses of staying open, paying rent, security, and other things like that. So I'd encourage all business owners to go to the SBA website to learn more about it.
All right. Another question here about the unemployment insurance agency. Are they going to accept all claims, pay them out, and then require the employer to police the validity of each claim?
based on the employment claims that I've seen come through my clients just in the last few days, the payment of claims for unemployment is being processed at a larger volume and a much accelerated speed, but it's processed with the same procedure that they always have been, which is the employee makes a claim and then the unemployment insurance agency at the state contacts the employer and says, you have an employee who filed a claim. Here's the reason they gave. Do you agree with this or not? They essentially give the employer about a week to respond. And the document will say, we think that employee is eligible as of X date. If you do nothing, they're going to get the money as of X date. If you have a concern, you need to protest it, but otherwise they're going to be paid. So there is a slight delay as unemployment checks with the employer, but not by much.
For you, Laura, can business owners qualify for unemployment under the CARE Act?
Yes, they can in some ways. The first thing to do is to actually become qualified under the state level unemployment law. And Michigan does allow employer owners under some circumstances to claim unemployment, especially if they have to shut down operations. Then the CARES Act provides an unemployment supplement on top of what is claimed at the state level. So employers who are looking to establish unemployment for themselves should start with Michigan state-based claims. Not all types of employers are eligible, but there is further information on the unemployment website, and that's michigan.gov/UIA. That'll get you there.
Okay, an employment question now. If one of my employees tests positive for COVID-19, what am I required to do?
That's a good question, because you have to balance keeping your workplace safe, keeping coworkers safe, with the employee's privacy. The Attorney General, Dana Nessel, actually did a video bulletin on her website yesterday about, in part, about this subject. And the advice, of course, is you have to inform your employees who may have had contact with this person that you have an employee who has tested positive, but you have to try and do that without naming names. Now, up here in the Upper Peninsula, many of our operations are so small that people tend to figure things out, even if you, as the employer, are not the source of the information. But it's very important that the employer not be that source of violating somebody's privacy. So as an employer, your job is to inform others who may have had contact with this employee, inform of a diagnosis in the midst of your operations, but don't name the name of that employee. You don't want to be the source of having violated that employee's privacy.
Right, another employment question. What do I need to know when laying off employees so I'm not subject to any type of unlawful termination at a later point?
Well, an important point to start with is that any layoffs that an employer designs need to be driven by business reasons. So a lot of the employers I'm talking to now are making their layoff decisions based upon what's easiest to do remotely, what the most lucrative lines of business are for that business's operations, focusing on business and business strategic reasons for which sectors are laid off and which employees are laid off and which are not. You can never, as an employer, focus on legally protected status of employees in making your decisions. For example, you cannot decide to lay old people off and keep young people in the office because you think older people have a higher risk of contracting COVID-19. While that may be your belief, making decisions purely based on age and not for any other business reasons is something that is potentially unlawful and puts you at risk for discrimination claims. Likewise, if you say, well, I'm going to lay off this single person and I'm going to keep this person with three kids working because he or she is the breadwinner of their household, and that young person can just go claim unemployment. Family status and gender basis for making employment decisions is also something that is not permitted. So you have to be very careful in picking and choosing who is laid off and who continues to work, that you don't have those decisions be driven by somebody's protected status under the law.
We're getting to our final questions here. If we are providing our employees the means to work from home, are they able to dispute or not do that and take the leave and get paid instead?
General rule. I was going to say, general rule is the employer can direct the employee. I'm sure there are going to be some exceptions to that, but it's primarily the employer who will decide how and where the employee works.
Well, this is a good time to mention the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which was passed by Congress and signed by the president on the 18th of March. This is a paid leave act for employees that actually starts tomorrow. So employees who are still working and who are not laid off starting tomorrow have access to this source of paid leave. Now, the act is in two parts. It provides for up to 80 hours of paid leave. If you cannot work or work from home based on one of six reasons under the act, it further outlines an extension of the Family Medical Leave Act that provides for the ability to leave, to take leave that is partially paid based on a need to stay home to care for children whose schools have been closed or whose daycares have been closed. And that is available, again, only if the employee is unable to work or unable to work from home because of that factor. So there are these circumstances, particularly starting tomorrow under the new federal act, where even if an employee has been set up to work from home and could work from home, if any of these available reasons cause the employee not to be able to work from home, those are potential sources of paid leave.
All right. Well, you all have given us a lot of information here today. That is all the time that we have. I want to thank all of the attorneys that joined us, Laura, Matt, Sean. We certainly appreciate your time. We know it's a busy time for you. Your expertise is very valuable. Andrew, it's always great to work with you, even in these challenging times. I want to thank you again for all that you're doing and for your time here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's on the front lines right now through this crisis, and we'll get through it. UP strong.
Absolutely. We also want to thank all of you watching and listening on Public Radio 90. For WNMU's Media Meet, I'm Elizabeth Peterson.
And for TV6 News, I'm Andrew Lacombe. Stay safe and healthy.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, with support from WLUC-TV6, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.